Good morning and welcome to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. We're here each Sunday at noon. And I'm Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer. He is board certified in community association law. And we love taking your phone calls for everything crazy that's going on in your condo or HOA. The number is 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And if you would like to contact Eric off the air, you can go to the website and condocrazeandhoas.com and click on the Contact Us tab.
Hey, good morning, everybody. If you're a fan of the show and like to read our blogs and newsletters, make sure to go to our website, condocrazeandhoas.com. Join our email list, because by joining each week, you can get announcements about the show, our blog, our seminars, our newsletters, updates on the law, and a whole lot more. By the way, the one thing that's so amazing on that website, Karen, if you remember how much time and effort I put into it, you can search our blog by topic.
Nice.
On that website. You know, you got a topic in condo law and HOA law you want to research, go on our website, type it in, and up will come all the articles we ever wrote on that topic.
Well, plus
people
we're gonna
compliment me all the time on it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's
sure, because
great resource.
It's years and it's the evolution of stuff.
Hundreds and hundreds, exactly, hundreds and hundreds of columns that were written. So great resource. Tomorrow's topic for the blog, as a matter of fact, which can be found at hoa-condoblog.com. Again, hoa-condoblog.com. Suppose your deck does not have Kaufman language.
From time to time, that's a problem.
You'll be surprised what you can't do. And there's a lot of things you can't do. But first, let me thank all of you that showed up to our two seminars this past week. The first one was at the Signature Grand in Davie, and the second one was in Orlando. You know, we had over 100 people in the Davie class. You weren't sure, are people going to be nervous? Are people going to show up and sit in a room with other people? It was packed. It was fantastic. I got to tell you, this is the first time I stood in front of a crowd in a long time, and I don't have to tell you, for me, it was such an honor. I was back in my element. I felt like a million bucks standing in front of that crowd, answering questions, teaching the law. It was great, and thank you, everyone, for really coming out. It was an honor to me. I loved it.
Very enjoyable. Yeah, I'm sure they were happy that you were there in person, because that always is such a nice touch, and
Absolutely. It
allows you to speak to people individually, and they appreciate that. And this week, you're teaching live as well.
Yeah, exactly. This coming Tuesday, we'll be teaching our board cert class at the Miami L&L Condo and HOA Expo at 9 a.m. at the Miami Beach Convention Center. 2 days later, this Thursday, the 14th, we're going to also be teaching our board cert class at the Palm Beach Condo and HOA Expo at 9 a.m., again, at the Palm Beach Convention Center. So two more classes this week.
Okay, well, there's still time to register, I guess, for those. You just go to the show's website, condocrazeandhoas.com, or you can call Glazer and Sachs at 954-983-1112. Did you see your shadow? You're kind of like Punxsutawney Phil. You've been underground or in a cave for so long, and you came out, and they're like, oh, my gosh, he's
we
there.
We are out, absolutely.
I
so
love
look forward,
it.
You know, this week doing it, and end of the month we'll be in Tampa. So,
good.
Really looking forward to it. Karen, I know you got big news.
I do. And now, what I was going to say at the top, I've moved. I bought a condo.
She's like she didn't learn a thing doing this show for the past 13 years. She moved into a condo. Can't believe it.
But you know what? And I learned this morning as I'm leaving that there's like a little board for my building, and then there's a master board. And I'm like, okay, I know exactly what's going on here. But now I had to ask you for some help on this one.
Let me make a suggestion. You know, tell them what you do every Sunday.
I haven't done that yet.
I would definitely tell them, you know, what you do every Sunday. And all we do is talking about suing boards and stuff like that. You want them to just stay as far away from you as possible, as you know.
I made a point to point out the leaky eaves trough that was leaking on my sidewalk immediately.
Did you have to go through the whole approval process?
Oh, I did.
And all that?
But
and you did, right?
You know what? They said it was the fastest in the history of the place.
Oh, really?
So I think maybe they do know who I am.
Fantastic. Well, mazel tov to you.
Thank you.
And I hope you enjoy your beautiful new home.
I do.
That's great.
You know what I wanted to say, though? I'm so close to you now, so we can be together in Broward for the show, we can have it on YouTube and then do a podcast.
That would be
together.
Fantastic.
So in addition to the blog, you'll have that and the podcast and YouTube. You can see us.
People are, you know, urging me to do that. I went to a seminar the other day. Some guy approaches me and says, what the hell are you doing not putting this on YouTube?
We're going to.
You know, do you know how many people across the country would actually tune in?
Oh, God, yes. When the collapse of the Surfside Tower,
exactly, right.
You were like everywhere, CNN, because you're an expert and you have so much, you're very high profile in the industry and you're board certified.
So let's think about that. We're going to try to put this on YouTube live and see what happens. Yeah, that would be great. Hey, for those of you who missed the big announcement last week, Senator Ana Maria Rodriguez asked me to send her my proposed legislation, which would make Florida the first state in the country to mandate that board members attend an educational class and can no longer be certified by signing that dumb form.
Yep.
And I am so proud to say that Senator Rodriguez, who represents all of Monroe County and parts of Miami-Dade, she filed my proposed bill in the Florida Senate. If you're following along at home, that bill is Florida Senate Bill 394. I can't thank her enough. I'll keep track of the bill and let everybody know how it goes. But education mandatory. And I know so many people who listen to this show have attended the course. You know, what does everybody think? Should it be mandatory for directors? And would you vote for a director who doesn't take the course? You know, I can't imagine.
When do they vote on the bill?
Legislative session, I believe, is going to end somewhere around April. So we will know in a few months whether or not this passes.
I see.
We'll know in a few weeks, actually, whether or not it's getting traction. I certainly think it will. And, it's no secret. This is my passion. And Karen, this would be my legacy. Florida would become, what I understand, again, the first and only state in the country that would require board members to become educated. And
the
like
Glazer
I said,
bill,
the Glazer bill. Let me tell you, that is a shining star for the state of Florida, because that shows, like you just mentioned a minute ago, we learned something from the tragedy at Champlain Towers, and we learned that education of directors, no doubt, can potentially save lives.
Half the state lives in a community association. That's millions
of
people.
Well, one good thing that happened a couple of years ago was mandatory websites for association. And let's talk about how that worked out so far. You know, when that original bill was filed that required condominiums to have a website, believe it or not, that statute was only going to apply to condos of 500 or more units. And in effect, it was a waste of a bill, because the statute would have applied to less than 1% of all condominiums in the state. It was a fake bill. Totally fake bill. And I met with the legislator, who drafted the bill and suggested that the bill be revised to apply to all condos with 50 units or more. But the compromise we reached, 150, and I think so far pretty good.
So just to be clear, that law only mandates that condos with 150 units or more have a website. The law does not require HOAs to have a website?
That's right, yeah. As we know, the Florida legislature doesn't like to regulate HOAs. So for whatever reason, HOAs with 150 homes or more, they're not required to have a website, unlike a condo. Instead, though, if a homeowner wants to access the records, think about this. In an HOA, they have to make the request by certified mail, return receipt requested. If the association ignores them, the unit owner has to ask for pre-suit mediation.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, if that fails, the unit owner has to file a lawsuit, all because they wanted copies of some of the official records. It's ridiculous.
How much of that is sunshine issues where the board doesn't want you to see it, or B, they make a lot of money from Xerox?
And if they don't want you to see it, and, good luck to you filing lawsuits now and going to pre-suit mediation and jumping through so many hoops. It's terrible.
And they get 25 cents a page, right? Or you have to pay them.
Well, not if you use your own camera.
Oh, you go in there.
But yeah, exactly.
But there's nothing preventing an HOA from having a website. I mean, they can do it if they want to. And places that have less than 150 units.
Yeah, exactly, of course. You know,
it's the right thing to do.
Of course. Why not make your community more transparent, more accessible? You know, who cares if you're an HOA and you're not required by law to have it? Set one up anyway, regardless of the number of homes you have. You know, are homeowners in a 50-home community less entitled to see the records?
No.
Than someone in a 150-home? You know, of course not. So,
that makes
I'm certainly
no
in favor
sense.
I'm certainly in favor of it.
you know, it seems like HOAs are just the red. Well, I don't want to say that. They're just like the dumb brother. I don't know. Does the DPPR make sure that condos with at least 150 units or more are complying with this
Absolutely.
Law?
Absolutely. Let me tell you, I will also warn condo associations. The DBPR is not fooling around.
Really?
When making sure that condo associations with the 150 units or more comply with the law, they will investigate any complaint received from an owner who complains that their association isn't putting the records up there, and they want those records posted online. And if association's failure to do so can and will, I've seen it, it will result in a fine for several $1,000.
Whoa.
Yeah. I know my point here is, I know the law requires you to do it if it's 150 units or more in a condo. But even if you're not, even if you're an HOA or even if you're less than 150 units, do it. It's great for all the owners.
Put the records online. It frees up managers valuable time. You know, they're less likely 100%. To have to respond to unit requests for access to records. It just is a no-brainer.
It's a win-win for any association, regardless of its size. So do it.
Okay? I have a quick question, Eric, about your Senate Bill 394. Do they have to then file a mirror bill in the House?
Yes, correct. They have to file a mirror bill in the House. We're trying to get a House sponsor.
Okay.
We will get a House sponsor. No two ways about it. So it'll be going in the Senate. It'll be going in the House. And hopefully it will be signed by Governor DeSantis down the line.
Okay.
But, hey, I'd love to know what our listeners think. Should an association website containing the official records be mandatory for everybody? Hey, what do you think about Senate Bill 394?
Yay!
Right? Should education be mandatory for directors? And, of course, you can give us a call here in the studio on anything else in the condo or HOA world. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, and in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new again. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10 year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting at 888-416-3204. Again, that's 888-416-3204. Go to the website pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities. All you need is Insurco. Get a free quote. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Call 954-846-1206. 954-846-1206. That's 954-846-1206.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. 4243, AffinityManagementServices.com.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Condo Grays and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs. He is board certified in community association law. And if you'd like to ask him a question about your condo or HOA or opine about the Senate Bill 394, please give us a call 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
Hey, Karen, you know that that game that they used to play on the Today Show in the morning? It was called Where in the World is Matt Lauer?
Remember yes,
that?
I
he'd
used
be
to
like all over the world, right?
Love it.
We can play that game with our next caller, Barry. He says he's from Miami. Barry ain't in no Barry sends me emails and keeps in touch from like all over the world. So with Barry, where in the world is Barry today? How are you, Barry?
Hi, Karen. Hi, Eric. I'm in Miami.
You are in Miami. Okay.
I
get texts and emails from places, exotic places, cities across the United States. It's good to be Barry. How are you, Barry?
I'm good. Thank you.
What's going on?
My question deals with putting into reserves replacement, where the replacement cost is more than $10,000.
Yeah.
Or the deferred maintenance is more than $10,000.
Yes.
We have 20 exhaust pressurization fans, whatever they are. 20 of them, each of them cost $9,000.
Right. 20 of them.
I have two questions.
Ooh. Yeah.
The way I read the Florida Administrative Code, they give an example where if you have a component item, they say that any single item under $10,000 doesn't have to be put in reserves.
So you're saying they're $9,000?
You have deferred. Pardon me?
You're saying each one is $9,000?
Each pressurization fan in our case is $9,000.
Yeah.
So it's $180,000 in total.
Right.
We actually put that item into our reserves.
Love it.
You're saying it might not be allowed?
Have because
to put that in reserves?
Because there's less than 10?
Because there's each fan is less than 10,000. You know, let me ask you, are these fans that are located like in the underground parking or in the garage?
I'm not sure where they are. Some are on the roof.
Yeah, okay.
All over the building.
Yeah, and some are probably in the garage because they take the carbon dioxide that's the cars emit and they pump it out of the garage. The garage, it's mandatory to have several of those fans in the garage. If you don't, people can die of poisoning, you know, the gas poisoning. So to me, it's a life safety issue as well. And the only reason I bring up that it's a life safety issue, Barry, is because I know you know that the task force of the Florida Bar, and I was on a meeting Friday, with that task force. And I can tell you, when it comes to life safety issues, and those fans, to me, you know, if suddenly you took all those fans out, there's no question that would be a life safety issue in the building. It's removing poisonous air from the building. So to me, that's going to be a life safety issue. And if the total cost of replacing all the fans is going to be more than $10,000, I understand what you're saying. Each one is $9,000 in and of itself. But I would think that when all is said and done this upcoming legislative session, something like that, it's going to be required to reserve for. Why? Because it could be potentially considered a life safety issue. And I think your building is doing a fantastic job by doing it. You know, when in doubt, do it. The bottom line is you're going to have to replace those fans anyway, even if it's one by one. So why not reserve for it? That's how I look at it.
Okay.
I think your building's doing a wonderful thing.
Can I make an argument that the Florida Administrative Code says if I've deferred maintenance on two swimming pools,
yeah,
in each one the deferred maintenance cost is $6,000,
right?
I can treat them separately.
Okay.
So now, can I take an argument that maybe I don't have to do
you
that?
I would agree. I would agree. At this juncture, at this moment in time, I would agree that if that's the way the administrative code written, each component's only $9,000, no requirement to reserve it. Fine, I'll agree with you. I'll take that position. But again, even if you don't have to, you know, going forward, I can tell you, by the way, I had 100 people in my class, right, in Broward the other day, and we were talking about reserves and the ability not to waive reserves. And I can tell you, overwhelmingly, the people in the class, their opinion was that we should not be able to waive reserves for life safety issues.
Amen.
Yeah, people are actually, you know, they know it's going to cost them more. I can tell you, condos are about to change. The cost of living in a condo, no doubt, is about to change. So, again, even if it's not required, Barry, I'm very impressed by your association in doing so. And I thank you for bringing it to our attention that, you know, it might not be mandatory, but I think there's a change in the populace out there. I think people want to, going forward, they want to have some money on the side because they don't want their building to collapse. It's really that simple. There's a change in thinking now. I mean, you know, I don't think I'm wrong. If someone out there disagrees with me, again, you know, let us know. But I don't think I'm wrong at that point. Barry, thank you so much. It's always educational when you call.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Barry. How about we go to Darlene in St. Pete?
Hey, Darlene.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have kind of a two or three part question here, but first one is...
You got to lower your radio, Darlene.
I'm sorry, what was...
Please shut your radio off in the background.
Okay, wait a second. Let me go outside here and see if we can get some better reception. I'm sorry. I'm in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yes.
Okay, now can't hardly hear you guys.
There we go. Okay, here we go.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yep, we hear you well. Go ahead.
Don't get on an elevator.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we hear you. Keep going, Darlene.
I can't hear you guys. But here's my question. I have somebody that's taking notes inside. What was the name of the... organization that we can report our board to, our management company, for not having things on the website?
You can report it to the Department of Business and Professional Regulation. It's called the Division of Condominiums, Timeshares, Mobile Homes.
Of the information out there.
Yes.
But they have, like, the financial stuff. They have this list of all this financial stuff they're supposed to have out there. And they only have a little bit out there.
And you're in a condo,
and
right?
Yes.
Okay.
We are in condo association.
Okay. So, Darlene,
we requested in writing that all that information be put out there. And so far, as of yesterday, they still don't have it out there.
Darlene? Okay, so here's what you have to do. You can report it to the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, Division of Condominiums.
Well, go ahead. I have somebody inside taking notes because I can't hear you guys.
Oh. Okay.
I can just barely hear you.
Karen, can you come over here and shoot me, please? Okay. Please. Okay. Darlene, thank you for the call. Again, good luck. You're going to call the DBPR, and I'm going to go get a stiff drink.
Wait. Darlene, do you have more than 150 units? Oh, she's hung up. Oh, anyway.
Okay.
She couldn't hear me anyway. Yeah, okay. Go get a drink, and we'll take a break.
Damn, that was annoying. Okay. Really. Let's take our bottom of the hour break.
If you call us and there's someone taking notes, then you go into another place where we can't hear ourselves on the radio.
Right, exactly.
Please,
people
or turn
should know
it down.
By now, turn the damn radio off. Okay. Okay. Taking your calls, everybody. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be right back right after this.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
This message is for anyone who has taken on the important responsibility of becoming an officer or director in a homeowner or condominium association. It is also for the management companies who work closely with these caring people to make sure things are done the right way. Hello, I'm Gil Pomar, South Florida Regional President for Center State Bank, now the second largest bank based in Florida. Our bank, Center State Bank, has an amazing team of professionals who are exclusively dedicated to the homeowner and condo association market. Your job is not easy. There are repairs and new projects that need financing. There are legal and social issues that need to be understood. There are also technology and servicing issues that your residents want to be improved. Why not choose a bank that knows this business backward and forward? Why not have a local banker who will meet with you face to face whenever it is convenient for you or your board? Center State Bank has over 2,000 associations as customers for a reason. Please give us a chance to earn your business. Call Terry Russo at 954-633-1666 to make it happen. Center State Bank is an equal housing lender and a member of the FDIC.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
If your association has ever been through a major restoration or renovation project, you know it can be a complicated, expensive, and stressful undertaking. Noise, dust, unexpected problems, and that C word no one wants to hear, change orders. But it doesn't have to be chaotic. DSS Condo is here to help you through the condo project management process. Most projects go over schedule and over budget. Without an expert, independent advocate in their corner, associations are exposed to cost overruns, low quality results, and long-term disruption for owners. DSS Condo is Florida's leading association project management firm. They provide tailored, expert construction management services for all types and sizes of association projects, helping you maintain control of the chaos. DSS Condo now offers customizable project management packages that can be modified to meet your association's needs and budget, and now services Miami, Broward, Palm Beach, and Collier counties. Contact DSS at 305-985-3772 or by visiting dsscondo.com. That's 305-985-3772.
Back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer. He has his law firm, Glazer and Sachs, in Broward, but he also practices community association law throughout the state. And if you'd like to get answer a question that with free advice from a board-certified attorney on community association law. The number to call is 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
Hey, off the topic for 1 second, but it's very, very interesting, you know, for our listeners. Yesterday, I went to try to lease a car, right?
Right.
And every single dealership I went to said that there's no inventory. You know how you would walk into, you know, a typical showroom and they'll take you to the second floor and the third floor and the fourth floor and you're in a giant garage and there's hundreds of cars, right?
To choose from.
There are no cars to choose from.
What the heck?
Why is that? Because apparently there's a chip problem. You can't get certain.
Should we thank Brandon?
I mean, it's pretty amazing. You can't get chips to put into the cars that help with certain of the navigation systems.
Whoa.
And stuff like that. So one guy says to me yesterday, well, I can get you a car without a chip, but you're going to have to sign a release. So if, you know, you get killed in the car because there's no chip, you release the manufacturer. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm just curious if anybody's running into that problem. There's a worldwide problem getting chips for cars, and it's nuts. You can actually sell your car now for a massive profit. They need, you know, used cars, but now what do you do when you sell it? You have to get another one, right? And there are no cars to be had. Pretty interesting. I'd just be curious if anybody's running into that problem.
And
pretty,
there's a bullet shortage,
pretty amazing.
Too, right?
There's an ammunition shortage. Yeah, every time Democrats talk about gun control, it just makes the Republicans go crazy and take all the bullets off the shelves. And that's where we're at now, too. Pretty wild.
Heck? So that's why my car company...
We got an open border. Afghanistan. We got
fentanyl
inflation,
and pills.
We got fentanyl. I mean, just...
Killing people.
Where the hell are we at as a country? Just that you can't even believe what you're seeing.
Let's go, Brandon.
Yeah. Lori in Sunrise. How are you, Lori?
Hi. How are you?
How are you? What's going on?
I was in a condo community over in Sunrise, and I had a question. We've changed management companies in this development a number of times, and the latest one that we're looking to hire has done business under three company names and also been closed down for non-payment of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if it's is this something that we should really be concerned about. And we can't find really a lot of history on these companies. They've only been in business a short while. And, you know, when I was told about this, I did some research about them. And, you know, I'm just worried about it.
And as you should be. As you
should. That we're doing business.
Yeah, as you should be. I don't know who it is, but, you know, a management company, your management company is going to be tasked with handling the association's money. And you call into the show and you say, well, they've been closed down for not paying taxes. They've been shut down by the state, you know, and they're going to be in control of your money.
Right.
We have how many other management companies in South Florida? Another, you know, 50, 100? Is this the management company you have to go to, the one that's been shut down and sued, you know, for failing to pay taxes?
The one our president picked.
How many stars on Yelp does it get?
Yeah, right. I mean, I would research. I would research the Broward County website. Right. You said you're in Sunrise. Research the clerk's website. See if they've been sued. See how many times. Right. You may want to check if they still maintain a license, not only as a company, but the individual CAM that's assigned to your place has to be licensed. And I can tell you, oftentimes with small companies, I'll find out that the manager is licensed, but the company that's actually there, not licensed. And under Florida law, both have to be licensed. So I don't care that the president wants this company. How many people are on your board?
We have 12 people on the board.
Wow.
12 people on the board. Unbelievable.
That's a big board.
That's a giant board. So your president...
But they all do what the president wants to be done.
I understand.
Yeah, but
so they really have no voice.
Right.
She's
I understand.
Blocked people from coming into Zoom meetings.
Yeah, that's
she
terrible.
She won't let us see documents.
Well,
we also have the spreadsheets that are constantly wrong.
They can remove her.
Yep. You know, if the other board members would get together and remove her as president, that would be great.
And then we have, then we have another issue about a little matter of $500,000 that we got from the insurance settlement, and we can't find out where it is.
That's not a little matter. That's a big matter. $500,000. You know, you should send.
It was one bank there where we had a line of credit.
Right.
And then they said they moved it to some other bank, but there's no transparency here.
Lori, you're entitled.
The board wants to do everything and not disclose.
Okay. Lori.
A lot of what's going on.
Lori.
Yeah, we turned her down. Now
okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Good. Good. Let's keep doing that today because. For whatever reason, people are talking over me. So, Lori, if she's worried about that $500,000 insurance check disappearing, she can do a couple of things. She can do a request for records, right? Find out, I want proof that the $500,000 settlement was deposited, where it was deposited. I want copies of the bank statements. I want to know if any checks were drawn on that account. I want to know if any of the $500,000 was paid. You can get copies of all those records.
Or maybe it's online.
Maybe someone took it. We don't know. We have no idea, you know, according to Lori. I'm not saying they did, but we have no idea. So ask. You're entitled to all those documents. And if they don't give you those documents, of course, you know you can file an arbitration action against the association or go to mediation. A lot you can do, but I don't like the fact that one president is choosing a company that has all these problems. Just doesn't
Queen
make sense.
Queen for the day, she sounds like.
Doesn't make sense. Okay, keep the calls coming in, everybody. 877-850-8585. Let's go to Sam in Tampa. How are you, Sam?
Yes. Eric?
Yes, how are you?
I have a question. We just recently had an annual meeting, Zoom meeting. It was on September 22nd. Our documents say it should have a date of October the 14th.
Right.
I wrote a letter to the president saying, why are we going contrary to the documents? And apparently it was for accommodating a board member, which I don't understand.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a valid statement. I have not heard any reply. At the same time, the annual meeting, they had voted for the five board members. There was no slate prior to that, and there was no, I guess what you call the organization of who's going to be the different officers. They just did it right there in running the meeting.
Right. So this is a condominium, right? This is a condominium?
Yes.
Okay.
A condominium. Yes,
so
sir.
Did they even bother to send out the notices 60 days in advance of the meeting saying who wants to run for the board, if you want to run, submit your name, all of that stuff?
They did that.
Okay. And how many people submitted their name for how many spots?
We don't know. That's it. There was no follow-up letter who was running on the board, whether it be the same.
Well, they had to make an announcement at the annual meeting as to, you know, what happened and how many people submitted their name, no?
No, sir.
They never said anything at the end.
They were all running, and all of a sudden they needed a spot. And
right.
It's like they appointed an owner. And this is a 12-unit complex.
Okay, so what you want to do is you want to get copies of the minutes of the annual meeting. So, you know, and then if you'd like, you can send them to me and we can figure out what in the world happened here. Because it sounds like very, very strange scenario. And you talk about moving the annual meeting from a date that's different than the one required in your bylaws. There is a case.
Yes.
There is an appeals court case on point that says an association must have the annual meeting on the date provided for in the bylaws. Why? To change it is, in effect, amending the bylaws without a vote. Right. If you're going to do it on a different a different day than what's required in the bylaws, then in effect, it's like you amended the documents without a unit owner vote. Therefore, must have the annual meeting on the date provided in the bylaws. OK. Sam, get those minutes and give me a call. All right. Get the minutes and give me a call. I'll help you out. 954-983-1112 is in the office.
Could I add one more thing that I have learned?
Real quick.
The condo.
Yeah.
We're doing windows. Because of the storm and what happened Surfside, I just want to share with the viewers, and maybe you may know, is that when we replace the windows, there's got to be on the product, whether it be a roof or a window, it's called an NOA. It's a notice of acceptance in regards to the type of windows that can be replaced or the information about the product. And then if the windows are pulled, it's got to be by a prior date and so forth. So right. I just wanted to mention that if you knew anything about that.
And we appreciate the advice, Sam. Thank you so much. We got to go to our final break of the hour. Taking your calls, keep them coming to the end. You got it. 877-850-8585 again. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700.
Or visit the website, cdri.net.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? DMI Paving and Seal Coating can help. DMI Paving and Seal Coating is the largest seal coating company in the United States, an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let DMI Paving and Seal Coating pave the way and make your community look great. At DMI Paving and Seal Coating, they believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, condominium and hotel associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. DMI Paving and Seal Coating is a LEED accredited Green Advantage certified environmentally responsible full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. DMI Paving and Seal Coating serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call today for a free estimate, 800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. Or visit DMIPavingandSealCoating.com.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225, Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association.
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on AVP-WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs. We're having a morning here. Let me tell you, if you have a question for Eric, turn your radio down when you do come up and listen to his answers, because that's why you're calling for free legal advice. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585, and maybe we will be on YouTube Live and Facebook Live next
week. Yeah, we're going to try to get that going. That would be awesome.
Yay.
All right, back to the phones. Joan in Hollywood. How are you, Joan?
Hi, how are you, Eric?
Okay,
you,
what's
Karen?
Going on?
Good.
Hello.
Yes, how can we help, Joan?
I have a question. I have a question regarding bids to do work on the premises of a condominium. Mm-hmm. My question basically is, how many bids are necessary to do work?
Yeah, that's a good,
good
question.
Three?
That's a good question. It says engage in competitive bidding. And that's all it says, you know, and what you're talking about, Joan, is in a condominium, if you're going to spend money on something, basically, and it's at least 5% of your budget, the condominium is required to engage in competitive bidding. And the statute says nothing more than that. So is competitive bidding, if you get two? I think it is. You have competing bids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most associations go with three. But I don't think you're breaking the law if you go with two. I don't think there's any cases that even talk about
it. How about one and done?
No. If it's more than 5% of your budget, you're required to engage in competitive bidding. And the statute says even if you engage in competitive bidding, you don't have to go with the cheapest. If you like someone better because they have a better reputation, they're more qualified, go with that one. Just requires, you know, competitive bidding is not defined. Okay?
Well, I have something further on that. Do we as a condominium owners have the right to see the bids?
Absolutely.
I know the board makes the decision.
Good one.
But we've never seen a bid.
Hmm. Absolutely you can. There's no two ways about it. Under the condo statute, under 718, you can absolutely see bids. I'm looking at it right now. All contracts for work to be performed, bids for work to be performed, are also considered official records and must be maintained by the association for at least 1 year. So any bids that the association has obtained within 1 year, you're entitled to see. Okay?
Also, regarding a material change on the property, is there a set amount that a board can do a material change without notifying the unit owners?
That's a great question.
Do we have the right to know about any form of material change to the property?
That is a great question, Jim.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a great question. And it depends what your governing documents say. So as you know, as Joan's pointing out to everybody, typically if a condominium board wants to make a material change to the common elements, you got to look at the statute. The statute says, okay, if you're going to make a material change, you have to do it in the manner that's provided in your documents. And if your documents don't talk about it, you need a 75% vote of the community. Now, sometimes what Joan is alluding to is when you look in the documents can say the board has the authority to make any material alteration up to, and there'll be a sum of money in there, up to, let's say, $20,000. So, yes, they can make a material alteration if that material alteration does not exceed their limit, their monetary limit, under the governing documents. But most documents don't say that. Most documents do not put a number, don't put an amount. They just say if the board wants to make a material alteration, they got to do it by a vote of the community. But sometimes the board has authority under the governing documents to make a material alteration without a vote of the unit owners if it's not above a certain amount, Joan. So in your community, I wouldn't know what the answer is unless I saw the documents. And I hope that answers your question. Great question for the day, John.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You too. How about we go to Robert in Panama City?
Hello.
Hey, Robert. How are you?
You hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. Eric, I got a question concerning, basically the issue I see is the board members are usually just volunteers and have some skills but not a whole lot of skills. Typically, like an earlier caller about a vent fan, replacing those and not even sure where they were located. But these are people who have jobs and are busy and do things.
Absolutely.
What I see a need for, maybe it's there in the law, I don't know, but I haven't seen it done, is that at a certain dollar amount, let's say, that the board should be required to get an engineer involved, someone who knows,
of course.
Someone who can advise them.
Of course.
That can lead them. And a lot of times I see board presidents make terrible decisions based upon not having any knowledge.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because that is, one of the hottest topics now that the Florida legislature is going to be dealing with. And let's talk about it in terms of a reserve study, right? You said you have a lot of unqualified people on the board. So let's do this example. Let's assume that you have a great board, and the board is made up of engineers and former general contractors and city officials, right? And that board goes up on the roof, and they examine the pavement and the painting, and they come up with a reserve study. And this wonderfully qualified board, right, they do a reserve study, and they say, everybody, well, Bottom line is we're going to put away reserves. We're going to do fully funded reserves, and it's going to make everybody's monthly assessments go up $150. What happens sometimes is the people in the community say, what? You guys are nuts. We're not paying $150 more. We're going to recall the board. The board actually gets recalled. These qualified people get recalled, right? And now who gets on the board?
Ugh.
Right? Sam, who drove a taxi cab in New York for 30 years. Joe, who was a butcher.
That's my point.
Yeah,
that's my
right.
Point.
That's correct. And they go up and they say, no, that roof doesn't have to be replaced in 5 years. That roof got to be replaced in 25 years.
Yeah. Hmm.
And they're right. And they're now heroes because the assessments have gone down. So, Robert, what's going to happen, you can guarantee it, right? You can guarantee it that when it comes to the reserve study, at least, you're not going to be able to have non-qualified people like you're talking about prepare that reserve study. My opinion, and I really hope the legislature is listening on this, the person making those decisions should not have a financial interest in the outcome, right? The person going up on the roof deciding how long the roof has left, that person should not have an interest in finding that the roof has a 30-year life expectancy when it really only has a 5-year life expectancy. That person should not be allowed to, because they know they're going to save money if they give it a 30-year life expectancy. So I'm hoping the Florida legislature says, and this was the law for a while, for two years, and Governor Crist repealed the law, Charlie Crist. And what was the law? The reserve study had to be done by an engineer or an architect, and that bill was repealed. But, Robert, I can tell you unequivocally that what you said makes a lot of sense, and the legislature will be looking at that this year. If you're going to make decisions, well, certainly on life safety issues, you better have a licensed, qualified person doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I would take it one step further. You have these so-called condo management companies. You know, to me, there ought to be something that says, okay, if you're a condo management company and, you know, manage a facility that's bigger than 150 or whatever, then you need to have resources, staff,
yeah,
electrical engineers, mechanical engineers.
Yeah.
You need to have a resource. And what I like to see is the board basically take away a lot of their abilities to make decisions and limit it to paint and colors and just minor stuff.
Right. You're saying take away the board's ability. Yeah. Of course. It's got to be done. These decisions, yeah. They have to go out and get licensed, qualified people to make certain decisions for them. Not
themselves.
No, it's not. It absolutely is not. Right now, like I said, when it comes to the...
And that's what I see. They make really poor decisions.
Right, because they have a financial interest
in the decision. What these things are or what they do.
Yeah.
Yep. Robert, thank you so much for bringing all this to our attention.
Okay.
You hit the nail right on the head. How about we go to Harry in Hollywood?
Harry.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Harry.
I was volunteered to be on the board of a condo association. And by the way, I attended your Broward event a few days
yes.
ago, and I was very impressed. Met you for the first time.
Nice.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for that. I guess I learned how little I know, which is not a bad place to be.
Right.
Well,
my question today...
is about the board and condos requirements when it comes to towing cars. And I'm talking about notifications that need to
right.
be out there for not parking in a limited time parking zone, and also about handicap parking.
Okay.
Can you tell me something about that?
Yeah. I'll tell you what my understanding is. There's no requirement under most city codes that buildings have handicap parking unless... there are commercial units in the building. Most buildings don't have commercial units, so there's no requirement to have handicapped parking. Now, that doesn't mean that if someone makes, let's say a person is far away from the entrance, their parking spot is far, far away from the entrance, and they send a letter asking for a reasonable accommodation, they need a spot that's closer to the front door, because, you know, God forbid that they're injured or they lost a limb, whatever it may be, the association better accommodate that request for a reasonable accommodation, all right, under Florida law and federal law, the Fair Housing Act. Now, that being said, let's go back to towing. You raised that. Boards are allowed to tow. But everybody better know that the board has put that rule into effect. That's why the statute requires that there be signs posted on the entrance to the property by the tow truck company, right, that warns the people they're going to be towed. I believe the signs have to have a contact number. People have to have the ability to immediately get their car. I think the new law even says that the person, even if their car is hooked up to the tow truck, right, if someone says, okay, I'm willing to pay, you have to drop the car right then and there. So it has to be in the rules and regulations. It has to be adopted. The signs have to go up. The people have to know about it. And the tow truck company has to comply with the law. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. Harry, I hope that answers your question. We got one more call. Ellie in West Palm Beach, really fast.
Go.
Hi, how are you today?
Hey, Ellie, what's up?
Well, my question is a lot about parking, too. Our condominium, which is 888 units, has decided to use a booting company that comes in after midnight and boots cars if they're not registered with them.
Right.
And it's everyone here is against it, and our HOA won't listen.
Right.
And it's caused a lot of problems because people just can't remember to register every time somebody walks in the door and parks in their spot.
Right, right. It's crazy. I know it gets people angry. You have to pay a lot of money to remove that boot. But if the board's not going to cooperate and give people time to go through the procedures to make sure that their car is registered and they're just looking to tow everybody, you know, what can you do? You got to get them off the board. When's the next election?
Yep, coming up in March.
In March, or you got to get 888 units. Go, you're going to need 445 people to try to do a recall. Good luck with that, right? That's
right,
pretty tough.
So many renters.
Right, right. But
lots of booties.
Did they pass that rule? Did they let everybody know that this is what's going to happen? Did they do it properly?
They talked about it, but they did it all kind of under the wire during the pandemic.
Well, again, I'd want to see notice of a board meeting where they told everybody. I'd want to see the minutes of that meeting as well. And Ellie, that brings us to the end of the show. Wow, you guys were fantastic. Kept us on our toes all along. Again, don't forget, if you need legal help off the air, give Glazer and Sachs a call, 954-983-1112 during the week. On the 12th, we'll see you in Miami. On the 14th, West Palm Beach. And next Sunday, we'll be back here on Condo Craze and HOAs. Everybody have a wonderful, safe week.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
I remembered you when you drank my old